Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 10th of November 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vintage Sai Bhajan's Classroom, our series on Radio Sai, where we want to rediscover and relive some of those old and golden melodies which Bhagwan loved listening to in the yesteryears. In the first episode, we started with a bhajan dedicated to Lord Ganesha, and now we have a bhajan, a beautiful short namavali on Lord Shiva. Brother Srinivaslu will now give us the lyrics of the bhajan, and then he will also sing for us the tune. Anirudh will follow Brother Srinivaslu, and after that we will move on to discussing about Vintage Sai Bhajan Classroom, about the feel of the bhajans in those years, and also the meaning of this bhajan and how to connect to Bhagwan through this beautiful bhajan dedicated to Lord Shiva. We will have Brother Balram Chandran speaking to us over a conversation. So that's coming up as we go on in this program. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Hara Hara Shambho, Karuna Sindho, Shiva Shiva Shankara, Lokapate, Paripalayamam, Parthi Purishwara, Sai Shiva, Kailasapate.
Now that you know the lyrics, here is the tune. Please pay close attention to how Brother Srinivasulu reveals this tune to us.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D sharp madhyam.
Hara Hara Shambho, Karuna Sindho. Hara Hara Shambho, Karuna Sindho. हर हर शंभो करुणा सिंधो हर हर शंभो करुणा सिंधो शिव शिव शंकर लोकपते शिव शिव शंकर लोकपते शिव शिव शंकर लोकपते शिव शिव शंकर लोकपते परिपालय मां परतिपुरीश्वर परिपालय मां परतिपुरीश्वर परिपालय मां परतिपुरीश्वर परिपालय मां परतिपुरीश्वर साई शिवा कैलासपते Sai Shiva Kailasapate Sai Shiva Kailasapate Sai Shiva Kailasapate Har Har Shambho Karuna Sindho
So you heard Brother Srinivasulu sing for us this bhajan from the yesteryears, a bhajan not sung so often in the Prashantinilayam Mandir in these days. Such a beautiful tune, and you had Brother Anirudh follow Brother Srinivasulu. Now for those of us who would like to play this in their instruments, let's discuss about the raga and the swaras of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us to help us in this endeavor. So Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the structure and the technical structure of this bhajan.
Sairam Bhushu, this beautiful bhajan is composed in the rag Mayamalava Gaula in the Carnatic classical music. We call it Bhairav in the Hindustani classical music. And it's a beautiful raga. You have all the seven notes.
Sa re
komal re
ga shuddh ga ma pa da komal da ni shuddh ni sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
Just by singing this Arohana Avarohana itself reminds me of, you know, the music colleges typically in outside and in the cities and towns where, you know, as a group, the teacher will be teaching this.
Yes.
La ra 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 ra.
One of the foremost ragas.
Yeah, this is the first raga they teach in the Carnatic music. And it's a wonderful raga. You have bhajans like
Matanga Vadana Ananda Sadana He Vishwa Janani Sri Sai Janani.
Same tune,
yes.
Different lyrics. Then
Triloka Palini Jagadishwari Sadananda Rupini Saishwari.
And you have many more. So in this bhajan, when we do the swaras, we will really know as to which note we stand. And especially in the second line,
Shiva Shiva Shankara Lokapate.
So that's a note which we have to sing little carefully.
Shiva Shiva Shankara Gaga Mare Re Sanini.
So that's the beauty of Mayamala Gola coming here. Otherwise there is nowhere the knee is coming in the bhajan. So that is one place where it really shows that this is Mayamala Gola, and the beauty of raga is also seen in that line.
Why don't you do an alap in Bhairav?
Yeah.
Ah!
element of pathos is so much latent in this raga, isn't it?
Yeah, and no doubt it's a heavy raga because you have the komal ri, and the shuddh ni also adds a lot of heaviness to the raga.
Mm. And very suited for the mornings.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we get connected very easily in the morning bhajans when we sing this.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So let's do the swaras.
Yeah, so let's take the first line.
Har har shambho karuna sindho sari mama 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 ma pamaga sari mama 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 ma pamaga shiva shiva shankara lokapate gaga mare re sane sari gari ga gaga mare re sane sari gari ga paripalaya mam partipureshwara re 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 garisa sari pama ma garisa
re 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 garisa sari pama ma garisa
sai shiva kailasapate sari gamare re re gama gari sa sa
sari gama re 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 gama gari sa sa.
It's a short, sweet bhajan.
Yeah, just four lines.
So what is the beat?
The beat of this bhajan is 8-beat, which is Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music, which is also called as Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Hara hara shambho karuna sindho.
Hara hara shambho karuna sindho.
Shiva shiva shankara lokapate.
Shiva Shiva Shankara Lokapate
Paripalaya Mam Partipureshwara
Paripalaya Mam Partipureshwara
Sai Shiva Kailasapate
Sai Shiva Kailasapate
Sai Shiva Kailasapate
Sai Shiva Kailasapate.
So we ended up doing the whole bhajan. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. So we hope you enjoyed how this bhajan flows and the beat of the bhajan and the feel of the bhajan. And now, the most important part, how to connect to Swami through this bhajan and how it was in those beautiful days in the 60s and 70s. Brother Balram Chandran is a former student of Bhagwan's university who had the chance to physically sing in front of Bhagwan for 5 years during his student days and even now continues to sing in Prashantinilayam whenever he is here. Otherwise, he is a regular singer in Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, in Sundaram. And he shares his reflections on Vintage Sai Bhajan classroom and on this bhajan dedicated to Lord Shiva. Sai Ram brother Balram Chandran and welcome to Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram brother.
So can I ask you, when I just mention the word Vintage Bhajan Classroom, Vintage Bhajans, what comes to your mind?
When I heard the word vintage bhajan, what came to my mind first was the Patamandir days. And I really don't know why it went back to the Patamandir days, but, and in fact, I've never seen, bhajans in the Patamandir. The first thing I saw, like, people of our generation was Prashantrilyam. But then it goes back to Patamandir days, and when I think of the Patamandir days, I have an image in my mind based on whatever I've read, in terms of accounts given by old devotees of Patamandir days, how Swami himself would be the lead singer, how his sister on the other side, Venkamagaru, would be the lead singer, how they would have long bhajans, they would have bhajans which are composed, by devotees. In fact, my mind, sometimes I wonder, even some of the bhajans we sing today, especially some of the Shiva bhajans, if you see there are some Shiva bhajans where the word Bala Shiva comes.
Yes.
So I mean, it's my hypothesis that maybe some of these are actually Patamandir bhajans, because if you say Sai Shiva Hara Bala Shiva, now, you wouldn't refer to a Swami who is, 35 or 40 or 50 year old, a Prashantrilyam kind of Swami as Bala Shiva.
Mm.
So, it goes back to that. And I think, over a period of time, Swami's bhajans have seen, or Sai bhajan as a system has seen a beautiful transition. And I think at any point of time, the bhajans which were sung were completely in tune with the requirement of that particular era.
Hmm.
That's one thing which comes to mind. Because if you look at vintage bhajans, I think one, whatever little I know about vintage bhajans, if you see one distinct difference would be, I think the vintage bhajans were longer.
Yes, in fact, they didn't have the standard two variations of speed with what we have now. Apparently, during the times of Sri Raja Reddy Garu and Mohan Rao sir and Eradi sir, each bhajan went on for 15 minutes, So they had various speeds of bhajans, and each bhajan went on to a crescendo and
absolutely
they left you there.
They left you there. And I'm not even sure whether there was even a defined timeline for bhajans. Like later on, it became more organized, more systematic, process driven. You had a half an hour bhajan and you had to watch the clock, and Swami would watch the clock himself.
Yes.
I think those were very different days where, but I think that was the need of the hour there. And very beautifully, Swami adjusted it to a current system where you have shorter bhajans.
Yes.
The emphasis on more people getting opportunities.
Hmm.
There you would run short of singers.
Yeah.
So, here.
Yeah. And there, I think, three singers are enough for 3 hours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you had to have those, what I remember some of our boys referring to as LP, or long play.
Hmm.
The long bhajans which they sing.
Yeah.
And it brings very beautiful memories. In fact, I'm not even sure whether some of these are vintage bhajans, but they had the feel of a vintage bhajan. For example, this bhajan, Dina Bandhava, Baba Daya Sagara.
Mm.
If you hear that, I think it must be a vintage bhajan, because if I understand correctly, I think Veena Vijayamma was the person who composed it. I think so. I was not very sure. I think Jyotsna Reddy Garu used to sing this particular bhajan.
Mm.
So there, if you actually listen to that bhajan, whenever I listen to it, I get a feeling that, because there they say Jivanaka Dharisai, Janani Janaka Bandhusai, and I think those were the days when devotees used to have a tough time reaching Parthi, and there were villages in between which were not
correct
in favor of Swami. They used to trouble devotees.
Yes.
You bear all these hardships and you come. And in my mind, when I sing that bhajan, I always imagine Swami waiting in the Chitravati, like, waiting for these people to come.
Mm.
And so how much of, they would have borne all this, knowing that at the end, the reward awaits them in the form of Swami standing there.
Mm.
Because Swami was the basis of their life. And I think that's a very special emotion, which was, I feel vintage bhajans are a lot more personal.
Mm.
In terms of connect. It was a conversation. I've heard stories of devotees saying that if Swami is upset with them, they would, and Swami is not looking at them, they would weave their prayer into that bhajan.
Yes.
Imagine composing a bhajan just to, because Swami is not looking at you.
Mm.
If, in fact, I think there are accounts in Anyata Sharanam Nasti also where they create bhajans.
Mm.
So I think their bhajans were a lot like Tyagaraja's songs, where it was conversation between the devotees and, I think, Swami.
Mm.
I think as the bhajans, as things got more organized, it became more structured. I think that is also required.
Yes. I think once the students came in, the whole complexion of bhajan singing changed slowly.
And brother, if you see some of the older batches, even their genre was slightly different.
Yes.
And was closer to the vintage bhajans.
Correct.
And slowly, I think, towards our batches, it became shorter.
In fact, I remember talking to a very senior student
who belongs to actually the very first batch of students and part of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. And, you know, to him, this whole idea of fixing bhajans, you know, this whole idea of, you know, confirming that there has to be a Rama Bhajan, and if you have sung a Krishna Bhajan, next you should sing some other Bhajan.
Yeah.
You know, this whole idea of structure, it is very suffocating, it is very inhibiting, you know, because for them it was like, you don't decide, you know, you go, you sit there, and then all you have to do is express your feeling to Swami. So you sit there, and whatever comes that day to express whatever you want to communicate, you know, whatever bhajan flows, that's what happens.
Absolutely. And I think they were not constrained even by structures of music. For example, I remember this bhajan, O Baba, Sai Baba. Many of our seniors, in fact, one of our seniors I still remember, used to sing. Now that bhajan, as far as my knowledge of music goes, is in Darbari. Now for the Darbari bhajan, he would sing an alap in some other raga called Mohanam or something, and then he comes into, you see some, musically see some atrocious things people have done at that point of time, and Swami was okay receiving it, because I think what mattered at that point of time, like you're rightly saying, was the feeling which they had to convey to Swami. It was a conversation with Swami. Bhajan was just a medium, and it was not constrained by any of the other, you know, norms, like it has to be in the same raga, or you have to have a, you know, structure of a, you know, a guru devi structure or any of that thing.
But and I think they had these alaps. I think that is
long ones.
Long ones.
And in fact, if you see some of those bhajans, like Muralidhara Mukunda Murari, the alap is longer than the bhajan. Gopalam Prabhu Leela Vigraha. I think it's from the Jayadeva's Ashtapati, if I remember, if I understood correctly. But long, long ones. And it had the typical Swami way of singing. You know? Yes. And then you sing the entire thing. And then finally, the bhajan itself is short. You said, hey, the bhajan is over before you realize. So those were, I think, very different days. But yeah, typically what Swami is also seems to have done is with larger masses coming. He standardized things.
Yes. Yeah.
So that it's easy to replicate across the globe.
Yeah, and I think with time you really needed a structure, just like any organization, you know, if it is an organization of 10 people, you run it in one way, and tomorrow if that organization becomes a group of 200 people, you have to put in procedures and structure.
Absolutely, because I think one thing was, for all this freedom which Swami allowed in terms of flexibility, now as you speak to me, it occurs to me that all this happened directly under Swami's nose.
Yes.
So which means at any point of time, if people were forgetting the basic purpose and it was becoming an exhibition of their musical prowess, I think Swami was there to cut it right then and there.
Yes.
But imagine you have an organization with, you know, hundreds of, presence in hundreds of countries like ours, and suddenly you don't have a structure. Now, you know, imagine every samiti, every center, then people would do whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. And there would be now different sects of...
absolutely. Bhajans. Genres of Swami. Correct.
Yeah.
So that way, I think very, I mean, as always, Swami has done something very beautiful.
And he has done it so silently, and he has done it so amazing. We didn't even realize what has happened.
Exactly.
You know?
In fact, only when you talk about it now, if you had not asked me vintage bhajans, in fact, it's only now that I realize that there are categories of bhajans.
Hmm.
Whatever we have discussed in the past few minutes, I'm sure, was spontaneous thoughts which came to mind, my mind and your mind. So
amazing. But is there any bhajan that comes to your mind when I say vintage bhajan? You could probably sing 2-3 lines of some bhajan, you know, which always takes you to the past, and you just love the tune, you love that feel.
Yeah, like the bhajan I mentioned earlier, Dina Bandhava Baba is, again, I'm not sure, but it must be one of those vintage bhajans, because Raja Reddy Garu, his age, and that is maybe, that would qualify as. So if you see the, you know, the part which I, the entire bhajan, if you see, is not like typically those devotees struggling and reaching Swami, and in the end you can actually see Swami, you know, waiting in Chitravati. You know that, Dina Bandhava Baba Daya Sagara, Patita Pavana Sai Karuna Kara, Dina Bandhava Baba Daya Sagara. So the entire feel of the bhajan was like, you know, Swami is there all. And Swami waiting for, when you say, Jeevan Ka Dhar Sai, Janani Janak Bandhu Sai, Patita Pavana Sai Karuna Kara. Because Swami is there, everything. They knew nothing other than Swami. Like the Bhutaganas of Shiva.
Amazing. Yes, the Bhutaganas of Shiva. And today we are discussing a Shiva bhajan.
Yeah.
So this is again a vintage bhajan. How did you feel the tune of this bhajan? Did you hear it before?
No, first time. In fact, I'm glad, you know, I got an opportunity to listen to it. Very special. In fact, I found it very similar to, you know, a composition of Bhakta Ramadas, which is Eti Ruhananu. The tune is very similar. And there he pleads to Rama. And this again is supposed to be a pleading bhajan. What came to my mind is, I remember one of our student brothers mentioning, he asked Swami, if I'm singing a sad bhajan and I'm not feeling sad, I mean, how do I express bhava? And it's a very big challenge, brother. Sometimes because you don't choose the bhajans you get.
Yes.
Sometimes somebody gives it to you.
Yeah.
So I believe Swami said that, see, even if you're not feeling sad, you are like you act like a pipeline.
Yes.
Through which, you know, the devotees can convey their feelings. So in the audience, there must be somebody who is sad, who is facing a family problem, whose son has not got admission, daughter has not got admission, somebody is seriously ailing. And you could actually become a pipeline. You could try and imagine those feelings. So this is one of those bhajans where you really plead with the Lord. Beautiful bhajan. And of course, you refer to Swami as Shiva.
Yes.
And one thing which came to my mind is a small, beautiful episode, which, you know, I had the opportunity to witness. There was a time when the serial on Swami's name was being shot.
Shirdi Sai Bharti Sai.
Yeah. So, brother, if you remember, the recording was actually done. One bit was done in Purnachandra. Especially the scene where the Shiva Parvati dance would happen, the Bharadwaja story.
Yes.
Shiva Parvati dance. So, it so happened that Swami called Abachan. It was darshan time. Devotees were outside. Swami called, sent word Abachan. And we went into Purnachandra. The actors were doing a shot and then only Swami was standing and watching. So he said, come, and all of us stood. Swami wanted to show us a dance sequence, but they kept on saying, cut. And I still remember Swami impatiently said, they're not allowing that girl to dance. Swami wanted to show us that sequence. So something interesting happened in between. There was a break in the shooting. The person who was acting as Shiva, he was dressed in complete Shiva costume. You know, the snake and all that. And he looked, you know, how well they do it in these Telugu movies and serials. He was looking original. And I was right behind Swami, small group of boys. Shiva, the person acting as Shiva, walked up to Swami. And he knelt in front of Swami. It's a very interesting sight. You're seeing Shiva kneeling in front of Swami. And then he touches, you know, Swami's feet. And he's actually weeping. He's overwhelmed with emotion. He's weeping.
Oh, okay.
And then Swami was, you know, comforting him. And then he went away. After he went away, Swami turned around and made a very seemingly humorous statement, brother, which was mind-blowing when I look back. Swami said, these were the exact words, if I remember correctly. Swami said, "Chusyava." Shivude edustunnadu Swami daggara vachi. You see, even Shiva comes in cries, you know, looking at Swami. Now, and we laughed it off. But now when I think back.
Wow.
I mean, because if you see, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva came from the cosmic Lord. I mean,
I remember, you know, as you mentioned this, in the earlier times, Bhagwan used to give discourses during Shivratri and there would be two discourses. One before the start of the Akhand Bhajan and one at the conclusion of the Akhand Bhajan.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think this is sometime during 93-94, in the discourse that Bhagwan gave after the Akhand Bhajan that morning, Bhagwan started talking about this trinity, you know, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. And then Swami said, these are all just department heads. He said, you know, I've given them different tasks to do and they are in charge of particular tasks. That's it.
True, absolutely. And he's
the one who has given them the task.
Exactly. And if they face a challenge, naturally they want to come and cry. So, because if you look at this bhajan, you're actually pleading. First part of it, you plead to the Lord in the form of Shiva.
Yes.
And then you talk about Parthishwara.
Yes.
You know, Swami in the form
Paripalaya
of
man Parti Purishwara.
Paripalaya man Parti
Protect
Purishwara.
Me, yes.
So the moment I heard that line, that scene came to my mind. one small thing can actually change the... One word in a bhajan can charge the entire bhajan, brother. Yes. Because not all bhajans, you can have a story visualization.
Correct.
But if you have one line, I think it charges the entire bhajan.
Yes.
The other quick thing which comes to my mind is when I hear the entire story, it's somebody pleading to Lord Shiva. Now, sometimes I believe a bhajan singer can draw a lot of inspirations from the lives of great devotees.
Yes.
There used to be a great devotee in Tamil Nadu who was actually known as Thirunavukkarasar. So Thirunavukkarasar, as in he used to, the golden, you know, he's supposed to be that somebody who is very, very fluent and very, very, very good with his, you know, the way he can articulate things, and a great poet. So Navu actually means the tongue. So he's the king.
He has a golden tongue.
Golden tongue. He has a golden tongue. So, what happened is that he temporarily moves to a different belief system, out of the Shaivite system, which mm-hmm. was strongly prevalent there. And then he comes back. Mm-hmm. When he comes back to the Shaivite system, the traditional people there don't allow him to enter the Shiva temple. Imagine you're not allowed into the Lord's temple. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that they tell him you have to go through a test through fire. They actually put him inside, you know, the brick kiln mm-hmm. where you bake bricks. Mm. They put him inside that and they actually set him on fire. You know, and he said, if you survive this, it's a test through fire.
Oh, literally through fire.
Yeah. And the story goes that next day when they open, he's perfectly okay, perfectly normal. Oh, and when wow. he was asked, how did you survive? He responds through a beautiful verse in Tamil, which goes like this. He says, Ma silvinayum malai madiyavum visutendralum vengilavenilum moosuvandarai poigayum ponrade eesanyandai inayadi nilale When he was asked how did it feel inside the kiln, he says it was actually like, you know, I heard the sound of the veena, I heard the buzzing of the bees, it was like the cool river, it was like the wind.
Oh my God.
He says all this and like, you know, in typical Indian poetic usage, it was all like this because Eesan Yendai Inayadi Nile, I was under the shadow of my Lord's feet.
Wow.
So the Lord is my refuge. Now, if you look at this, it's a very beautiful feeling. When you say that, how does it matter? I mean, the Lord is my refuge. If you look at this bhajan, no, paripalayam parthipurishan, you pray to Shiva, look at the faith of the devotee.
Yes.
I think it's a greatly inspiring thing. When you say, you know, the Lord is my refuge. I mean, yes. Just imagine under the shadow of the Lord's feet and the shadow
you
of the Lord's feet.
You can only be in heaven.
You can only be in heaven. And he was saying, nothing affected me. Which means, you know, the law of karma will take effect. You will go through fire. You will go through humiliation. You will go through this. But then nothing affects you
yeah.
because you are under the, you know, Eesan Yendai Inayadi Nidale. It's a very inspiring. That's the only line which keeps coming to your mind. The Lord is my refuge.
Hmm.
The Lord is my refuge. What can actually affect me?
In fact, I'm reminded of how, you know, when someone asked Bhagwan, one of the students, Swami, why is it that, you know, Prahlada suffered so much or Shakubai suffered so much? You know, they are your devotees, they are chanting your name, but they go through so much of trials and tribulations and you know that,
exactly.
Right? Bhagwan says, did he come and tell you that you were suffering?
Exactly.
So,
and I have heard Swami also say that it's better that you go through all this when I am with you.
Yeah.
So that you don't, you know, feel the impact. And that is, I think, one sentiment. I think if you remember the life of this great man, I think it will inspire you to sing
yes.
this bhajan.
Yes.
You know, when you call and say Paripale Imam, because that's the only refuge he had.
Yes.
Everybody had written him off.
Fantastic. And you have the last line as Sai Shiva Kailashapate.
Correct.
And when you are at the lotus feet of the Lord, you are in Kailash.
Kailasha, literally, physically. So that's exactly what Trinavakar sir also experienced. Yes.
He experienced that coolness. He experienced that... that solidity of his protection.
Yeah, and the beauty of this bhajan is generally Shiva is associated with the, you know, the terrible. Shiva is associated with the, you know, the destruction, the aggression. But, you know, I think I've always felt Shiva has got that deeply hidden, carefully hidden soft side to him. He's actually very soft.
Absolutely.
I think he melts very easily. Bhola Bhandari.
Yes.
And he, you know, covers it up very nicely.
Mm.
And he does, I always feel he's like a father, no, who loves you, but doesn't know how to express.
Yeah. but, you know, once you touch that soft core in him, just like Ganesha, you know, the kind of position he gave to Ganesha, he will lift you to the...
Exactly.
Above him.
Yeah.
Above himself.
And force. That's why Bhola Bhandari.
Yeah,
he gives up everything. Empties.
Amazing. Beautiful. Fantastic, brother. I think, yes, just remember this aspect, you know, when we sing this bhajan, that, you know, all you have to do is just plead and know that we are there at his feet. He is there, our refuge. Then I think that whatever feeling, in whichever condition we may be in, I think,
yeah.
Feelings will automatically come, I think. And once the feelings are there, I think the tune will flow effortlessly.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just that one word which can charge up an entire
yes.
bhajan. That one
yes.
thought, that one idea, that one story.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, brother. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So that was Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, sharing his reflections
on Vintage Sai Bhajan Classroom and this bhajan. With that, it's time to move on to listen to the complete version of this bhajan. So here is how it sounded when it was sung in Mandir in the recent times.
Har Har Shambho Karuna Sindho Shankar Lokapate Shiva Shiva Shankar Lokapate
So that brings us to the end of the second episode of Vintage Sai Bhajan Classroom. We are going to have 9 bhajans in this series. This is the first set of 9 bhajans in this new series. And after this is done, we'll take a break, but we'll come back again with another set of 9 bhajans. We hope you like this initiative. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can send your emails to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil, Anirudh and Abhishek. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 10th of November 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.